Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. And we're going to get straight into it because it's a much longer episode than usual, simply because I just got carried away chatting with my guest, Emma Last, from the Human Reboot Movement. Emma is a friend of mine and absolutely love and adore everything that she does. And our chat today is talking about her transition as a trainer and a coach who used to do business in person, who used to train people in real life, and how she's transitioned her business online over the past couple of years, particularly during the pandemic. And it's just such an interesting story to hear Emma's background, where she's come from, why she decided to start Progressive Minds and the Human Reboot Movement, and hear about the struggles and successes of what it takes to move your business online when you've been really used to seeing people in front of you every single day. So enjoy the episode. I will see you in a tick. All right. So thanks for joining me in this episode, everyone. Really excited to talk to my guest today, who I've known for a good couple of years now. And it's weird when you know someone online, and we chat a lot, I feel like, yeah, I know who this person is. I know their business. But there's just some really in-depth stuff that I'm looking forward to finding out in this episode. And so, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Emma Last. Emma, would you tell us a little bit about you, maybe your origin story, where you've come from, and kind of what you're doing today, what your business is?
Okay, so
and have I made you nervous with that statement?
Yes, I am Emma Last, and up until about 4 years ago, I worked in the corporate space. So I was a corporate girl through and through, had a really successful career, worked for the same organization for 19 years, but had about 13 or 14 different jobs in that time, really kind of worked my way up the ladder. And that organization saw me get married, have three kids, and be juggling the world whilst being a senior leader. And like with many corporate organizations, they go through lots of change and evolving. And, you know, I loved that part of the business, really. That was kind of a huge part of what I did. I helped transition, you know, the business to, you know, to move forward a lot, and worked on performance with people. However, in the last sort of 12 months, I started to get really, really question everything. Questions whether my values fitted their values anymore. Was it the direction I wanted to go in? And that I'm such a passionate person and really kind of driven to achieve. And, you know, what you would call a typical high achiever, who, you know, will work themselves into the ground to make something happen. And yeah, the last sort of 12 months, I kind of felt like that passion had died. And really looking back on things, that was when, you know, the burnout started. So when I made the decision to leave, but like many people who perhaps go on a holiday and then get ill, I left my company and got ill. And so really the next sort of 6 months were very much about trying to put myself back together. I had, looking back, knowing what I know now, I had, you know, really severe burnout. People talk about burnout a lot and use the word quite flippantly. You know, I'm feeling burnt out because they're tired. There's a huge difference between feeling tired or, you know, needing a rest and actually being at the point where you can't actually see how you can put one foot in front of the other. And unfortunately, that's where I had got to. Part of it was, you know, having lost my identity, having lost my purpose, But part of it was the fact that I hadn't looked after myself. I'd always thought I was invincible and didn't really focus on looking after me. I looked after everybody else before myself.
Common story.
Yes. And I decided that I was going to focus on, you know, learning about mental health and well-being, because my other option was to go to the doctors. And for me, I just wanted to see what I could work out myself first. That's always what I've been like. I've always been really solutions focused. And so that's what I did. And basically, I rebooted myself. So from being really burnt out and really questioning how I could even carry on, I just went from that to flourishing within, you know, within a few months. And so all the experience I had in terms of transitioning through challenge and change and supporting others with performance, I decided to set up my own business doing that, but very much from the angle of, from a real sort of humanistic point of view of, you know, if you are going through challenge and change as an organization, you'd need to look after your people while you're doing it as well, so they don't end up, you know, like in the position that I did. And so that's, you know, that's what I do now, is I educate organizations on mental health and well-being, support them with developing resilience, and also to grow their performance and to navigate through challenge and change. So that's sort of, so that part of the business is still there. But there was a kind of a hunger in me a little bit later, a couple of years into the business, where I kept thinking, what is all this online world all about?
Before we go into that then, like, what made you want to set up your own business and just not go and find a nicer employer to work with who would have been more understanding about your situation?
Well, this is really interesting. my dad has been an entrepreneur since the age of 21, and my sister is an entrepreneur as well, has had her own business for about the last 14 years. And I never wanted to be like them. And you know,
Why not? What was it about the entrepreneurial life you observed and didn't like?
Well, the thing was, when I was younger, my dad's done many businesses and to varying degrees of success. And I mean, like, really successful. So like in the 80s, he was doing a business, and I remember he used to the money used to come in each month, and it was about 15 grand a month he used to pay himself. So it was a pretty successful, but what was really interesting, it was never really sustained. So we didn't, you know, we had a good life sort of financially, but sometimes it was like, well, hey, we're up here, and then now we're down here. Oh, where's all the money gone?
Right. too young or old enough to understand those ebbs and flows?
Yeah. Really, really understood it. And so much so that was a huge driver for me being an independent woman with her own career, is that I never wanted to be dependent on anyone else for financial stability. So it's a real, really, really interesting sort of angle. My sister was completely the opposite. She was just like, yeah, well, she's probably oblivious to it, whereas she's about 5 years younger than me. So, it's a very different perspective. But, yeah, but it was those highs and lows. Yes, it gave variety and it gave massive opportunity, but I just thought, I don't want that lack of stability for my children. So
that's so interesting, because that's my background, is parents fully entrepreneurial, had many businesses while I was growing up. It was definitely a wobbly route up, you know, growing up in terms of like the sort of financial stability. But I got to my adulthood and thought, I don't want to have my own business. I like working for people and having the paycheck and the security. But at some point, you know, I create my own business. So what was the defining point for you?
The turning point was after 19 years, when I left, I did leave with, I managed to negotiate a redundancy type package. But I just thought, after 19 years, is that all I'm worth? Right. And that was a massive thing. It's like, I have given blood, sweat and tears and literally made millions for this business.
And that was it. You just got a tidy bit of cash at the end.
Got a bit of cash at the end. Not a life-changing sum. So, you know, for me, it was like, actually, in my head, I was working for the future of my children. And selfishly for myself, in terms of, like, because I loved it. But from the perspective of, you know, thinking about your own business, it was like, I don't want to go. I am not going and working at the level that I did and not coming away with something decent. If I come away, I'm having shares in a business or some equity in it. So that was like my boundaries, really, for finding my next role. But then as people started to talk to me about, I want you to set this up, I want you to do that, and I'll pay you this, and I'll give you X percent a share, I was like thinking, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing that when you can just set up yourself?
So that's what you did.
Yeah, so it was a real process of, and, you know, kind of looking back on it now, you know, there's massive advantages to having additional investment from people, if that makes sense. So there are, you know, there's two sides to every coin, isn't there? But at that time, that for me was not...
I just wanted to be fully independent, right?
And fully in control. Yeah. And I think that that's... although, are you ever in control of your own business? But that is another matter.
Well, what was the first year like for you then, running your own business? So what type of services were you selling? Who were you working with?
Right, okay. So very much about working with businesses, and that all through this sort of transition, like challenge and change type programs, working on performance. I mean, I was very well known within kind of my market. So I was asked to go in and support people with various different projects and things like that, which I did consultancy, really, some consultancy and training, really.
All around, just to be clear, though, all around, like, performance and getting the best out of employees.
It was all around performance, yeah.
And what's that like? So, like, is that like you just sit in a room with someone and you're kind of like, you can do it? Or, like, the only kind of frame of reference I've got is in Billions. Have you seen that on kind of Sky Atlantic? Like, it's like a financial institution.
Yeah.
And like they have their woman in there who, like, helps, like, you know, G them up and get better performance out of them.
I have been described as her by one of my clients. But it's not necessarily, so a lot of the work that I did was business improvement in my previous life. So it often, for me, a lot of people with business improvement, they always start with the business. But for me, you need that bond with the person first. Because if you're going to give someone, you know, you need to create a bond so that if you're, they need to gain respect from you, but also if you're going to give them feedback on things, there needs to be a bond in the first place. Because it's a bit like, you know, when you're at school, a teacher you didn't respect or something saying to you, get stuffed.
I've been like that as an adult. I've been sent on management training, and I was running 10 minutes late because I had to drop my daughter off. And I got told off by the trainer. He said, what time do you call this? So I was like, I think I've organized being this late with HR. And I got told off. And as soon as I got told off, this was day one, hour one, the rest of the week I was just like, stick it up your bum, don't worry about it. Like I couldn't be trained.
See, I'm very much like that as well. So it is a bit, people say to me, how are you so patient? And then, but you can, you know, you can't, you can push me so far, but push me too far and then that's it. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. So a great first year then, right? You didn't have to struggle. You didn't have to go out and find clients. Like you could just rely on your community or.
Everything, the work I'd done, like historically, had always been about, right, matching supply and demand in the market. What's your focus definition? How are you going to, what's your value proposition? I knew all the stuff of what I should be doing. You know, I'd been doing it for years, but it was a bit like, I'm investigating my market, but I've got to make money at the same time. So I did kind of go off in a few different directions. And also people used to come to me and say, oh, you've got such a good name in the market. Can you help me find a person like this? Because, you know, the business that I work for, you know, it was HR services business. A big part of it was recruitment. So, and I was known I had the best teams, and that was because I could pull people out of wherever I needed to, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Like as soon as I needed to, you know, I would find somebody. I didn't find the recruitment part difficult. So to kind of where there was any gaps, I would plug it with, if people said, oh, will you just help me with that? And then I'd go, okay. And then I'd plug that financial gap with something that I didn't necessarily want to do longer term. Right. That was easy money, if that makes sense, but not necessarily what I felt my purpose needed to be now.
Yeah. So you talked a bit before about being aware of this online circus that's out there. Can you believe this, right? I didn't really know much about the online marketing celebrity space until I left my corporate job, right? When I was in corporate, I never used to pay attention to, like, I didn't know who online coaches were or anything like that. I was just in this corporate marketing world. And when I left in 2018, I was like introduced to all these names of people, and Amy Porterfield, Marie Forleo. I'd never heard of these people before in my life, right? And realized, oh my God, there is a booming thing that's happening online. And it was amazing because I'd spent evenings getting drawn in and going down click rabbit holes trying to find out more about all of these people. And it was just really fascinating. Like, what was it for you?
It was similar, but interestingly, the first person that I really came across was Helen Pritchard.
Helen Pritchard, yeah.
The challenges and things like that. Helen's was the first challenge that I ever did.
Oh, I think mine too. Although it's weird, right, because I was already running challenges, but I didn't know they were called challenges, right? So I just used to do what was called Facebook pop-up groups, right? But I joined her challenge, and it was like, oh my God, this is how it should be done, right? It was just like an event. It was like a full on, and it was done by a Northern British woman, like no American accent in sight. Like, so you can see, like, for women like us, how attractive that would be, right?
So I did that, and then I relatively quickly, because in my mind it was like, well, what would I do in this online space?
Right. You
know, it was like, yes, okay, the training side of things, yeah, mental health and well-being, but what is it that people really need in that space? Yes, I'm doing, by that point I was doing a lot of like well-being and performance coaching, and in my head it was like, right, well, could I start to do more group work via this means, because a lot of the work that I did in businesses as well, as so training and then small group coaching workshops I was doing as well. So it was like, is there any way I can move that? Would that be something that people would want? But it was all kind of just kind of investigating that. And and really the online, where I started getting into the online world was really to kind of attract people on LinkedIn or raise my profile really around a lot of the work that I was doing. So, and then the next one was Lisa Barry. And then that was the first one that I actually bought into. So that sat really right with me because it was really kind of mission led. And that
was great.
What was missing, if that makes sense.
That's how we met. It was via Lisa Barry's group, wasn't it? Because I was totally like you. I joined it because I was like, this is someone who is genuine, wants people to make a mark on the world, which is the mission led content bit. And the community was just full of really awesome people like you. That's quite interesting. You talk about Lisa and the mission-led content thing, actually, because there is a theme that's come out of the chats that I've been having with business owners recently, right? Which is either people getting into it because they're just doing something they genuinely love and it just feels weird that they're not making money from it, right? Or they're doing something because they feel compelled to make a mark or feel compelled to help. Want to assist in some way. I feel like I'm in the latter here because, you know, websites are great and marketing's great and everything. I love it. I live it and breathe it. But, you know, I wasn't 6 years old thinking, yeah, you know, like I'd love to like sit in Facebook ads all day and kind of die of boredom because it's not opening the way I want it to open, or you know, I've got to get on with support again or whatever. The thing that gets me out of bed is like, oh, can I really help small business owners like take control of their website, take control of their marketing, right, without having to rely on developers, without having to spend thousands and thousands of agencies, and actually show them where all the info is so that they can like make their own decisions, because these are bright women, right, in my membership. You became one of them, like, you know your stuff, right? But that for me is my joy.
I'm having this website design, but I don't think I really like it. And you were just like,
you were like one of those people. You were like, I'm done with relying on other people. And I think, like, you know, that for me, like that. And that's why I dialed so much into what Lisa was doing, because it was like, oh, yeah, I'm on a mission. I have a mission. And it was a mission born out of years of corporate banality about how things were done in tech and the attitude that people had about people who didn't know enough about websites and things like that. I mean, you clearly have a mission, right?
I have been mission led for a long time. So the first, and that was part of probably why I struggled in that first, you know, few months, the part of my burnout and that whole realization that had gone. So I always loved my job and I was always about helping people, but it was probably about, oh my goodness, how long ago would it be? 10, 12 years ago, that I watched Simon Sinek's Great Leaders Inspire Action. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I so get it. And my job at the time was I was leading the change, complete and utter rebrand within a business. So our business has bought another business who had a really strong brand, but our business had decided that we were going to take away that brand name and we're going to use our brand name because their brand name across the world was bigger. So but it didn't make sense in terms of the market in the UK. But anyway, that's besides the point. But it was like, right, how am I going to get these like 150 people, let's say, across the UK, we're all working in different locations to buy into this change. What is it that, how are we, how am I going to make that happen? And this is where then we did some work on it. I did some work on it with the senior leadership team. And then from that, we literally worked it through and worked out what our why was. So everything that we did within that organization started with why. And then the work that I did within that, we literally, as we brought new people into the business, we would train them in that way. And actually that meant that, you know, we did retain clients, and it was, you know, it was really, it felt, those people coming in felt like they were doing worthwhile work for, and could see where they were really impacting that bigger picture. I still do work like that with organizations now, because purpose and why is a huge part of people's well-being. So it's important, and organizations often, like you said, it kind of can feel quite sterile, and organizations will often say to me, how do we get people to buy into this? And it's because, and it's like, well, but they're interested in the environment, and they're interested in mental health, and they're interested in diversity, and we sell, I don't know, let's say bricks. How can you get excited about that? Well, actually, there's lots of different ways that you can get excited about it. So it's just, it's around finding the why, but it's also about those people within your organization that have got like real passion for certain things. Let them use it within your organization to your advantage. Make yourself stand out as an employer of choice, or amazing to your clients, because what you do for the environment is bloody brilliant. But for me, that was the whole thing, because the work that we did was with schools and within education in my last 10 years. So that was the business that I worked within. And, you know, helping and supporting teachers was, and obviously having a knock-on effect for impact on children and the next generation's education. So when that went, that for me was, that connection with that was, had kind of started to go. And that's when I knew that something wasn't right. And part of that was a change in leadership, because they weren't connecting with the same thing we had connected with. And for me, it was like the people, the kids come first. And that was, if you put them first, your business, they'll grow, your business will grow, because everybody's doing, making the decisions based on that end user. They're not putting somebody that's rubbish out to work, for example, because it means that they make an extra few quid in their pocket. They're making a decision about the long term and the impact. So there was, when that went, that for me was the hardest bit, that first 12 months, because it was like, where is my purpose? And then when all this stuff happened with me, and I was like, right, I need to build myself back up again. So I like tried and tested it on myself. And then I was like, oh, maybe I had these amazing tools in my kit bag for all these years, but there was a few that needed refreshing. And that really is kind of where it all came from. And that huge connection to, you know, mental health and well-being is because I've been through that myself. And in organizations, it's so interesting, because you get such differences in people that, and this is with individuals as well, you get work has such a massive impact on people's stress and on mental health. And I come at it from very much a preventative angle now, so that people don't get to that point where I get to. But yeah, my mission around it is raising awareness of, you know, of that, preventing burnout and supporting people with tools to be able to, you know, live the life they want to live.
So who is your ideal customer now compared to when you started like 4 years ago?
So like businesses that are, I've got kind of a mixture of some big businesses, but the majority have probably got about 25 to 50 employees, something like that. But what's really interesting, and where the idea came for the online business really, was my coaching clients were coming from like inside the businesses that I was working with. And they would start off potentially, because the business might say, right, for each employee that needs it, they can have four sessions with Emma or six sessions, or Emma, you've got this budget to deal with, or we'll have you on a retainer each month and we just want you to support whoever you need to support, for example. And but then what would happen is these people would start working with me and then would be like, my employer says I can only have four sessions with you. And I feel like, because often people, the people that I pick up will be people that are on their way to burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work on that bit first, and then we start to work on the performance side. So sometimes it's not just a quick fix, if that makes sense.
Mm.
We work on them first, and then we start to work on what it is that they really want. But literally, I had somebody start with me. Well, she's probably been with me about six. She's on a sixth session. No, she's done five sessions. She's got a sixth one coming up. But literally, by session three, she was not great. By session one, she was on, told me she was a, like, asked them where they are in their head out of 10. And she was a three. So to me, that's really bad. If you're a one or a two, you're on the verge of thinking whether you can carry on or not. And actually, by the end of the first session, she was six. By the next session, she came back as a six. So, and then by session three, she was a seven or eight. And saying to me, right, I'm ready to start thinking about what I can do within the workplace to start to have more impact at work. And that's only cost that business like a few sessions, if that makes sense. So the impact that they get is huge. But say, for example, that business would only pay for four sessions. She can now see, actually, I've come this far this quickly, and now I can really develop myself
with you.
In terms of performance. So that's where my clients came from. But then COVID came along, didn't it?
Right. So did you suffer like many service businesses suffered, where you rely on face to face?
Yeah. I would probably say at that point, because I'd only just started, I'd updated my website, wasn't it, January 2020. And then the human reboot was in my head. And that name was in my head from probably November, December time, 2019. But it was like, when am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? You know, it's about helping people to reboot and then get to the point where they can perform at their best. But basically, my ideal clients are still the same people, whether they're in a business or they're not. They are generally women that are juggling the world, that are high performers, that are driven, that are addicted to achievement and don't pause and find it frightening, the thought of pausing.
So you can imagine they didn't pause during COVID with the kids at home then, right? And with possibly having a partner at home and having to do all of that and work extra hours at home because you're at home for the first time, you can't commute into the office. Like your audience must have, well, your ideal customer must have really needed you.
Yeah. And they did. And, you know, I've got clients that started with me last year that are now, so they've been with me 12 months, you know, some of them have been with me over 12 months. So normally if you're thinking, you know, they don't need me the same way anymore, but they like the community. So they come to the coaching sessions each week and they're there going, right, so this is what's happened in my week. And sometimes the groups that I've had for 12 months now are coaching each other.
So outline, what have you got now in your business since you launched the Human Reboot then?
So I have like individual coaching, which is people can come directly to me for, or I have the Human Reboot, which is group coaching. So it's small sessions of eight.
No, they're all done via Zoom, right?
All done via Zoom. So I've got
and that was a side effect of COVID, right?
Yeah, it was already in my head, but COVID pushed me to do it quickly, more quickly, because it was, I wanted to be able to, you know, pull people together into that group environment. And a small group, it's really intimate, and it's safe. And people, and I think the bit for me as well, which I didn't realize at the time, was, you know, when all the stuff happened with me, was that I just kept everything in and I didn't talk about my feelings. And so that's why it's so good for, you know, that's why some people want to just keep coming back and coming back, because they come on, they just like, oh, they've driven me mad this week, and I've had this situation at work. And literally, I give them techniques. It's not just coaching, it's more mentoring. I give them techniques on, you know, or I'll say, oh, can you remember that technique that we used? Let's revisit that. So sometimes with the ones that I've been doing for longer, and we pick whatever that group now, we've pretty much done like all the content, but sometimes we revisit stuff. Sometimes there's something topical, because I'm always evolving it and thinking about what we need. And yeah, that's really kind of, you know, it's really one of the really interesting outcomes is the people end up within time, end up finding something that is completely out of work that they love.
So that's really interesting, because it's like your work is done, right? Because if you can help find people something that brings their passion and their joy, as opposed to just getting them out of burnout, that's a kind of like a double win, right?
Yeah. So they get, you know, like for example, one lady last year came to me underperforming at work, stressed, following a couple of years probably after a divorce, you know, everything going on, feeling like she'd got a lack of connection because she was, you know, more isolated because of COVID. So we worked on all the well-being stuff. Then we started working on the performance at work. Then by January, it was like, right, come on then, we need to start upping this, you know, getting you outside and let's see you get more active. Because we work on all of those things as well. It's not like, oh, you're coming, because they get educated on sleeping, eating, you know, being active. They know exactly what they need to do to tweak, and because it's not about, it's about them being able to do it on their own, not necessarily when I'm there. But she's started walking more, got herself a dog. Is walking twice a day now. She's just qualified for England's disabled golf team.
Oh, amazing.
So, you know, the outcomes sometimes are just things that you just wouldn't even cross your mind.
So congrats, right? Because this is amazing and helps you get out of bed and do what you do every day, right? But, you know, you make money, like, doing this, so you're a sustainable business now. So what... it's quite fascinating, right? Because you've just sort of talked about like the outcomes and going straight into doing the client work. Did you have any struggles kind of getting this content online and getting it delivered and finding your audience, or is it just
so
are you in a position where they were waiting for you to do it?
I would say finding the clients last year was probably the hardest part, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And also I hated video.
Right.
And so the first thing that I did sort of last January, so it was pre-COVID, was I hired a video coach to help me to get on video, because I wouldn't even have my photo taken back then. It was like, right. Oh, I don't like it.
I can't believe that, because, you know, I see you go live so much and you seem so relaxed on camera now.
I still don't like it. Like if I'm on a Zoom and I'm talking to someone else, that it's just, to me, that's just like having a conversation. But if I'm on my own on a Zoom, I always feel sick every time I do it. It's just like, oh, I hate it. Why do I have to do this?
But you understood that this was part of taking your business online, right? Well, you can't be a coach who sells you as the fixer, you as the perpetrator, you as the all-encompassing support person without showing your face and talking, right? Yeah. You can't. And there's so many online coaches I know that don't show their face and then wonder, I'm not making any money. I'm not sure why. It's because people buy into people, like you said earlier.
It was like barrier by barrier. But also then it was like, right, well, you know, I had, I'd got work booked in sort of March. I probably had 3 months. I always work sort of 3 months in advance. So I'd like enough money really for 3 months. January 2020 was my best month, like so far in the business, if that makes sense. So everything just had come together by that point. And then quite a bit of work got cancelled because it was face to face. So I physically took as much of that online as I could. So that started to help me build some confidence about being on camera and all the rest of it. But then it was like, right, how am I going to do it? And obviously by that point, I'd already been in your challenge, in your world. We had, you know, conversations about that. I started looking into how other people did challenges, what, you know, what mechanisms there were out there to automate it, because it was just like, this just looks really stressful to me. But the tech side of it at that point was really not confidence on tech at all, because, you know, because it was a little bit like, well, you were like, well, you can build your own website. I was like, I really can't. So, which I can, you know, I put like, you know, put stuff on my own website every week now, you know, but for me, it was just,
you're a ninja.
But it's just, I suppose it's just like, it was all the step by step. And then I just put in place a really good plan. And that's what, you know, one of the things you'd said to me as well was, you know, really planning when you're going to do these and how many you need to do. So what I do now is I look, so even for next year, I've scoped out till the end of next year when my intakes are going to be, how many I need to do, but also, so financially, does that work? But also from the vision of the life I want to lead, because this business is about me leading the life I want to as well. So, you know, it's like I've booked it out. So I've got the whole summer off next year. And I mean, physically, I probably won't have the whole summer off, but I'm not massively, you know, I'm trying to do it. So I've got time with the kids and I'm trying to take time off with the holidays and things like that. So it's, I've planned all that. So you have to plan it out. Plan a launch, get your social media right. You know, I've got shed loads of content. A huge part of kind of my recovery, which I hadn't really realized at the time, was writing. So, you know, so I just write and post and, you know, I'm really consistent with that. It might not be like 10 posts a day, but I consistently post one post a day on every platform that I am on, if that makes sense. So there's a level of consistency there. And then when I've done two challenges last year, and that format, it was interesting because the first one we did it and I think I got about 150 people, something like that, in it. And that was the launch, really, of the reboot, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I found it really stressful.
Well, they're very time intensive, so they're not for people that are introverted or like their life quiet, because for 10 days it just is an intense little world that you go into, isn't it, with a challenge.
But by the second time I did it, I enjoyed every minute of it, because I knew what was coming and I knew I'd tweaked things and streamlined it. So I enjoyed that far more, the second one. And I think I had about 200 people in it. The hardest thing for me to get my head around, I think, with the challenge kind of angle, was the percentage that you get into the mix, if that makes sense. Because normally if I speak to a client and they tell me what they want, there's normally one of my services, if that makes sense, that, or there's, you know, that it's not very often that they don't buy.
Whereas you're looking at a 1-5% conversion of a challenge group or a webinar.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different world, I think. It's a different way of buying that kind of people have compared to face-to-face, because the intent is there with face-to-face. Someone sought you out. They're serious enough to have a business meeting. Whereas people who come into challenges, they want a freebie. They want a bit of fun. And they might buy from you if it's like aligned with where they're at right now. But, you know, most won't.
Yeah.
And it's definitely part of a bigger marketing mix. Yeah. So what's kind of like the main way that you're driving traffic to your world at the moment?
Well, I am actually getting people through businesses as well that then are coming onto my program. But also what I've been doing is more shorter sort of trainings, masterclasses, and then them coming in that way.
So using ads, or are you networking? How are you getting people into them?
So I did use ads for both of my challenges. I've not used ads for a while because I made the decision that I was going to do a podcast earlier this year. So a lot of kind of my investment has gone into that, which has been really good in kind of increasing brand awareness. And yeah, I'm getting some like traffic through that. I've got the Human Reboot's got its own website now, which it didn't have before. So, you know, there's more things are in place. It's not just a sales page I'm using now, if that makes sense. And there's other things that kind of that have come out of it. You know, some things that came out of it was, do I need a kind of a lower priced offering, if that makes sense? And last year I probably did need a lower priced offering because of I wanted to help as many people as possible, but not everybody was in the situation that they had been, you know, 12 months ago, you know, earlier, for example, financially. So but that might be something that I relook at and, you know, perhaps move away from. And I think that's something that you always need to kind of keep your mind on in the online space, is it's evolving and changing, and actually how your clients buy can change. Because I think there's certain things that work, you know, certain kind of buying methods that seem to work better for certain types of products as well.
Totally. Like the thing you were just talking about, the McDonald's offer, you know, which is like the kind of cheap, snackable, quick insight into your world, you know, they'd spend 10 quid on it or 27 quid on it or something like that. You can't run a business from doing just those, you know. No. It should be the snackable way that people can get into your world and kind of learn more about you. But having a high ticket offer, a medium ticket offer, and that as well, I mean, just sort of shows like how much you've picked up over the past few years, just observing what the markets are doing and observing what your audience is doing. And, you know, like credit due to you, Emma, right? Because following trends online and keeping up with trends online is a nonstop, exhausting, almost full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, and I do talk to a lot of people who are like, oh, I want to like just do something that's as low effort as possible that brings me as much return as possible. Well, newsflash, so do we all. We would all love to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. It's not out there, right? You know, you kind of you've got to work for it online, but you don't have to burn out. But like this, we are in this new phase of like entrepreneurship online. The sort of post Gary V world, where he started out saying you've got to hustle, and now he's like, no, you don't have to hustle. But we're, unfortunately, that effect has meant that, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs around who are going through content burnout, trying to get content on every platform 10 yeah. times a day, trying to create the best online course, do all the things themselves, recording all the videos, writing the content, trying to like get it out all at once, like you know, it's definitely like burnoutsville out there for lots of people. Do you think like this is, you know, just observing, like this is something that we can just expect now with kind of like being switched on more online as entrepreneurs? Or is there a new way? Because I feel like, you know, we don't have to burn out. We can choose when we post. We don't have to show up nonstop 10 times a day.
I think the key is and this is what I always say to a lot of my clients is, and they're like, you know, what are you doing now? Are you getting, you're not making me draw a picture again, are you? Yeah.
Being mindful, right? away from their phones.
Yeah. So, but the thing is if you start with a vision of the life you want to lead, that helps you to determine what decisions you make. So if you've got pound signs all over something and you don't really care if you just want like a nice holiday a year and you're not really, you know, you're not really bothered about spending time with your kids, you know, that's there, you know, that will help you make those decisions to go, right, well, I need to, if that's the case, I'm going to hammer it for the next 6 months. But, you know, but then I get really nice holidays or whatever. But they do need to be careful they don't burn out. But on the, you know, on the other hand, you know, there's other people that want, you know, that might not want a luxury yacht or whatever, that might just want, you know, certain things, and be driven to do that and have balance. And there's no reason why you can't do that. You just need to look at what those then boundaries need to be and what the support needs to be around it. So,
and have you definitely had that for yourself since becoming a course creator and being in the online space?
Not first time round, I wouldn't say. First challenge, no. But second time round was like, right, so I had, you know, all my content was written, everything was done, everything was planned in advance. I wasn't, you know, still videoing things about 2 days before we were going live or even the day before and thinking, oh my God, I can't upload that. Technology is rubbish. But it was like looking at, you know, what are the things that you can automate? You know, there's so many scheduling tools now, like great scheduling tools on social media. And yeah, there's pros and cons. You might not get as much engagement, but, you know, one I'm currently using at the moment helps you to know where you've got more engagement. So then you can do more of those types of posts. Mm. And so there's lots of different things that, you know, Facebook ads that, you know, that once you hone the skill in it, that, you know, you can keep building on that and tweaking and changing it. But it's not that you're going to get there overnight with everything, is it? It's just, and sometimes you're like, well, actually, I'm going to try this for a bit. I'm not going to do that for a little while. I'm going to try something else. But I've got, you know, good support network. I try and not work, you know, I need to make sure that my weekends are free. It's become kind of slightly more challenging, if that makes sense, for me to do a challenge as well.
Mm.
Now the kids are all back. So once they went back to sports and things, and that was kind of off and on, wasn't it? But once they went back to sports, that was one of the first things that went back. So I've got 3 kids, all really sporty. So it's like, right, actually, I know I need to do this for my business, but do I really need to do 5 days?
Mm.
Is it that I could do 3? Or is it that masterclasses might work better for me? Or so it's just really kind of thinking about, and it's just always being self-aware and thinking, actually, do you know what? I'm really, really getting burnt out now. I need to go for a walk. You know, this saying burnt out, I mean, you're not really getting burnt out, but you're starting to feel
that,
you know,
way,
it's having a pressure or the stress is building. You know, right, I need to take a day off.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you've been able to take your own learnings, your own teachings, and apply that to what you're doing in your business. And, you know, what's to come then? What's the big mission? Like, what's the year plan, 5-year plan? What's coming up in the Human Reboot?
Okay, so when I originally launched the Human Reboot, I launched it as a 6-month program. But what I am doing now is I am, and I've split it into three areas now. So people can just come in for 8 weeks and then can go if they want. So,
and does that make things a little easier for you to manage as well?
Yeah, I think so. So it does mean that I'm going to be having, you know, an intake every 8 weeks. But what it does mean is that, so those people that want to stay, if that makes sense, they can do the, so it'll be like, well, the well stress and well-being element will be like the first one, and then we'll be working more on resilience, and then we'll be working more on you know, adapting to change, your future vision, all that. So we've basically, there's like three modules. So if people want to do the full program, brilliant. But also they'll have the opportunity to do 8 weeks and decide if they want to carry on with the program, because I'm confident now that if they come and do the 8 weeks, they'll want to stay anyway.
Very good. So world domination with your new program then?
Yeah. Yeah, world domination. And it might be that, you know, I want to keep that, you know, I want to keep that quality up, but a lot of some of the work that I do some train the trainer work for a mental health and wellbeing book that I've co-written for the first aid industry body. So it might be that within time, the human reboot might be something that other people can train in. And then it makes them setting up their own businesses.
A little bit like Tony Robbins does, right, with his coaching methodology. Like you can franchise a methodology and a way of doing things as well. And I love that. Good luck with that, because I can't wait to see how you get on with it. I genuinely can't. I think we've got to wind this up at some point. I could just sit and chat all afternoon. You know, I was just like really enjoying this chat, like loads. It's just been great to find out about what's been going on. I've loved hearing about like your mission and how you help your clients, and some of the challenges that you face in your business as well. You know, and like the point you made about, you know, video not coming easy to you, I think is going to be reassuring for anyone listening to this, because you know, you got to go out and find a way to bridge the skills that you don't have, you know, bridge the gap of the skills that you don't have. And I don't doubt for one second that that will definitely inspire people. Where can people find you online, please, Emma Last?
Okay, well, you can either find me at www.progressive-minds.co.uk or thehumanrebootmovement.com. I've got a podcast as well called Human Reboot, so you can find me there.
Subscribe,
yeah, download, and give a 5-star review, please. No, but also in my show notes, there's my Linktree link, which basically means that you can book a call with me, or you can see what training, up and coming training or intakes I've got coming up.
Amazing. Thanks again, Emma. It was really lovely chatting to you.
Been lovely chatting to you too.
Hey, end of the show crew. I love you. You always listen to the end of this episode. You know who you are. I see and I hear you. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Really interesting insight into Emma's world, and just like so much value came out of that conversation for me personally, actually, just sort of reflecting on my own transition from a kind of in-person corporate career, if you like, to kind of doing this crazy online life. As usual, if you liked this episode, make sure you share it, you leave a review, you even subscribe, just so that other people who you think could benefit can find the podcast online. We'll be back continuing the Behind the Business series next week. So I can't wait to see you then. Take care.